You know, you can read this Bible and read it, and all of a sudden, you've read it and read it, and you see something you never saw before. It's the wonderful part about this book. I've been reading, was reading through the Gospel of John a few times, several times, and all of a sudden, I saw something that I had never discovered before, never seen it that way before, in this Gospel of John. And as I read it, I realized that this Gospel of John is saying something over and over and over. And may God help us tonight to get it, to understand what he was saying. And I noticed this, that in the Gospel of John, starting at the third chapter, over and over, Jesus said this. He said this. It was mentioned before by John, but these are the words of Jesus, that Jesus kept talking about eternal life. And how many times he said it, I never realized or grasped it before. It begins in the third chapter, and it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then I noticed that he said it three times in this third chapter, then again over in the 36th verse, he that believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And I thought, he's saying that so many times, then I read that in the fourth chapter, he says it again twice. And in the fifth chapter, he says it again twice. And then in the sixth chapter, he says it seven times. Eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. Believe in the Son and you'll have eternal life. Three times in the third chapter, two in the fourth chapter, two in the fifth chapter, and seven times, Jesus says this, seven times in the sixth chapter, eternal life or everlasting life. Again, twice in the eighth chapter, twice in the tenth chapter, twice in the 11th chapter, once in the 14th, twice in the 17th, and John concludes by saying that's why the book was written, that folks would have eternal life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Then it is implied four other times by Jesus. It is said, that is 30 times in these few chapters, he speaks of eternal life. 30 times over. That's what he's talking about. Over and over. That's what this book of John is all about, is eternal life. Eternal life. That is what matters. That this life is not the thing that matters. It's eternal, having eternal life. And the third chapter says it so well, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Back in Numbers, the 20th chapter, when the children of Israel were wandering, these fiery serpents were biting them, and God spoke to Moses when they cried out, the children of Israel cried out, they said, we have sinned, they repented, and God said, fix a brass serpent, just like the fiery serpent that's biting these people, and hold it up and put it up on a large pole so they can see it. And then everybody that gets bitten, all he has to do is look at that serpent, the fiery serpent in brass on the pole, and he will be delivered. And he said, that is why the Son of Man, God, so loved the world that he gave his Son. And this impressed me like it never had before, these verses, because it says this, God gave his Son to die in our stead, And then this is the verse I want to call your attention to especially. The next verse, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. And I thought of that, and I thought of how many sermons I've preached condemning folks in my ministry, and I said, that's not what Jesus came for. He didn't come to condemn the world. That's not why he came. God didn't send his son to condemn the world. He said 26 to 30 times, he said he came to give eternal life. Didn't come to condemn. Because the reason he didn't come to condemn is that God condemned his son in our stead. God gave his son, poured his judgment out on his son, and condemned his son in our stead. He did not condemn the world. He put his son on the cross and poured his judgment on his son. And that's why he never condemned the world. Because if he condemned the world, then he wouldn't condemn his son. He put his son in the world's place. He put his son in the world's place and said, I'm going to give my son to save the world. My only son. My only son. That the heart of God was touched, was pained, like there's no description, because he had to turn his back on his son and let his son that he loved, that had no sin, that had never done one thing wrong, never displeased his father, never said only what his father said, and then have his father let his son, his only son, that was been with him from eternity. No way to understand this. Beyond us, it's God's love. His love is beyond description. And took his judgment and turned his back. Let him beat him. Let him nail him to the cross. But that wasn't the worst. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He forsook him for you, and he forsook him for me. His judgment. He bore the judgment of the world. And he said that he might give us eternal life, that we could have life in him. He was resurrected on the third day, and now Jesus, 26, 30 times in these few chapters, tells us, go and tell everybody to accept Jesus, because that is the gift of eternal life. He took your place that we could have his place, that we could have the gift of eternal life. He bore our sins. And he said, now go tell everybody that they don't have to be judged. They don't have to face eternity without God. That if you receive Jesus Christ, he has already paid the price for your sins have been paid. And he said, now go shout it to the world that Jesus Christ saves, forgives, whatever your sins are, whatever you've committed, whatever it is, he bore them. He paid the price. He took the Father's judgment that you might go free. Now, he says in the sixth chapter, this is so for us to get the message, God has to help me. I can't do it without his help. He said in the sixth chapter, he says this seven times in this one chapter, eternal life, everlasting life, the gift, receive Christ and have everlasting life. I've come to give the world everlasting life. I've come to save the world from destruction. I've come to save the world. I've been judged for the world. I have paid the price. Now receive me and your price has been paid. Receive me and the debt is canceled. Receive me and receive the gift of life, the gift of eternal life. And he that has Christ never dies, because you have eternal life and you will never die. Hallelujah. That's not wonderful? The moment you leave this life, you go to be with the Lord. The gift of eternal life. We're never going to die. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't mind, I'm going to, that's the oil. I need the water. Well, there it is, right over there. I'm about to drink the wrong thing. After preaching 67 years, I've been preaching, and my throat is not like it used to be. Praise God. That's not what matters. It's eternal life that matters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That doesn't matter. It's eternal life. In the sixth chapter, Jesus feeds the 5,000, the 5,000 men besides women and children with the five barley loaves and the fish and the small fish. And he feeds them. And the miracle is so incredible. Thousands of people. There's about 15,000 to 20,000 people there. And he takes those little barley loaves and those fish and feeds this entire tremendous audience over those hills. Thousands of people. Something equal to what would be in the Madison Square Garden, 20,000 people. And he feeds them. Just breaks those bread and it multiplies. Just incredible. They saw it. And they're following him. The next crosses the river, and the next day at the lake, and they come following him. And Jesus says this to them, and he says these words. He says that they have followed me for the wrong reason. He says to the, he rebukes, he says, you followed me, and you've come here today because I fed you, because you saw the miracle, but not the miracle. He said, that didn't impress you. You ate, and you were satisfied, and I fed you. He said, don't do that. Don't put bread and food above me and above eternal life. He said, that's not what you search for. He said, what is important is eternal life. Then he goes on to talk about eternal life. Don't work for the bread that perishes. He says, strive to receive the gift of eternal life. That's what matters. He says, God knows you need bread. He said, and later he says it again elsewhere. He says in Matthew, the sixth chapter, Matthew's gospel, he says it again in the sixth chapter there. He says, don't strive for the bread and of clothes and food and housing and those things. Don't let that be the quest of your life and the searching of your life. He says, God knows you need those things. And if you'll seek the kingdom and seek eternal life and seek the things of God that matter, the things that last, that never pass away, I will take care of those things. I know you need those things. You can ask and I'll give them. Don't let that be the big thing in your life. Don't let material things be the big thing in your life. What matters is having eternal life, having the gift of God in you, having Jesus Christ within you. That's what matters. That's all that matters. Folks, those other things really aren't going to mean anything. He said, I know you need them. I'll take care of them. Another thing is, and he says in the last part of Mark's gospel, the last, very last, the 16th chapter, he says, go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that doesn't believe will be lost. But go and preach this. Sure, let this be the message. Let this be the thing that you live for, is to share this gospel, is to spread this news of eternal life, that there's another life, that this life ends with everybody. You never know when it's going to end. It's temporal, it's passing, it's fleeting, it's not forever. But I want to give you the gift of eternal life, that a million years pass, it's nothing, that you are going to be with me for eternity. And the Son has paid the price. God judged the world and poured his wrath on his Son, that we could preach this gospel to everybody in the world. And everyone that believes will be saved and have the gift of eternal life. He says it so many times, over and over and over, praise God. And it's just wonderful. Praise God. I just want to keep repeating it to you. Three times in the third chapter, twice in the fourth, twice in the fifth chapter, twice in the eighth, twice in the tenth, twice in the 11th, once in the 14th, twice in the 17th, and once in the 20th, 26 to 30 times. And remember, he says that, and then four times he alludes to it. Over and over he says it. He keeps telling us eternal life. Now, I want to confess tonight, I haven't been always ready to share this like I should have been. This is what it's all about. Eternal life is what it is, what matters. I haven't always been anxious. I have at times I have, but at times I failed, and I ask God to forgive me and help me to never miss an opportunity, because that's what it's all about. Why Jesus came. That's why he died. And he said, I want to give you the Holy Spirit so you will be a witness and you will tell people about Jesus and you will share this thing of eternal life, that you'll tell them, accept Christ as the forgiver of your sins and your Savior, and you will receive the gift of eternal life, and you will not face judgment. Now, John's gospel doesn't mention judgment nearly as much as Matthew's gospel. John's gospel centers this 30 times on eternal life, that he shared Jesus Christ. He came to give life. That's why he was judged. That's what it's all about. That's what the whole thing is about. It's about Jesus Christ coming and God pouring his judgment on his Son, and his Son bearing our sins who had none, and God raising him from the dead, and then filling his church with the Holy Spirit, and say, go share this news with everybody on this earth needs the opportunity to hear this gospel, that Jesus Christ is the way and he is the only way to God. In the 14th chapter, he says that in the 14th chapter, he says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, to Thomas, the truth and the life, the eternal life. No one comes to the Father except through me, his Son. I am the only way. He is the door. This gospel of John is the big door. The 30 times he says eternal life. Jesus, he says it in John at the last, says it, but Jesus says it about 30 times himself in these few chapters. Eternal life. I came to give the world the gift. You don't do anything to get it. He is the way. He is the life. He is the only way. The tragedy is that religion in this world, and even some called Christian religions, do not preach Jesus is the only way. They preach the church is the way. Not long ago, I was witnessing to a young man and who comes from a very religious background in a large church, the largest in America. And I said to him, but here's what the Gospel of John says. Read the Gospel of John. Read this third chapter. Read these chapters about the gift of eternal life. He said, isn't it so? He said, come to think of it, I went to religious school. I went to all of those early years of my life, church all the time. Never once did they ever tell me to read the Bible. Never once. He said, come to think of it, nobody ever said for me, read the Bible. Don't read this Gospel of John. Don't read this book. Trust in the church to save you. Trust in the last rites. Trust in the church to save you. Trust the fact of baptism to save you. No, trust the fact that you are a church and that you will be given the last rites. No, folks, that will not save anybody. That will not save you. Listen to what he said. I am the only way. You have to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to receive this gift of Christ. He must come into your heart and life. Religion won't do it. That is not the answer. Doing good is not the answer. I had a wonderful cousin, a doctor, who was very kind to our family, and my mother would spoke to everybody. We tried to witness to him. Finally, I did get to witness to him later in life, but his wife said to me, listen, he is a good man. He is a wonderful man. He does so much good, he'll get to heaven because of his good deeds. We had to explain to her, listen, good deeds does not wipe out anybody's sin. Good deeds will not, good deeds are good deeds. They will not cleanse your sin. They will not take your sin away. They will not bring eternal life to you. The only thing in the world that will bring eternal life is Jesus Christ that died on the cross. He will give you eternal life. He wants to bring that life to you. And I want to ask you tonight, I want to ask, challenge you tonight, that you will ask God to give you His anointing and His Spirit for one reason. Not to make you feel good or to claim you got something extra than somebody else. No, 1,000 times no. But that you might have the power and the courage to witness and to tell a lost world that Jesus Christ is the way. The only way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you will become a witness, he said he will take care of your needs. He will take care of you. Pray that God gives you the answer and helps you and touches you and gives you the open door and opens our eyes to the opportunities that are around us to witness, to bring life to people, to bring Jesus Christ, to bring the fact that He cares for them. God loved that person enough that He put His judgment on His Son to save them. God so loved the world that He gave His Son to die and to be judged and to have the judgment of God poured upon Him that we might have the gift of eternal life. We must not keep it to ourselves. We must share this great truth with the lost and a dying world. God wants to open doors for you. And if you begin to ask Him and look, this becomes the great priority of life. This is what it's all about. That you could bring this light to somebody, to your neighbors, to your friends, to others that are lost, that God is trusting you with this light, trusting you with it. Now He says, I'll give you the Spirit that you can go forth and that my Spirit will help you and anoint you and give you courage and open doors for you and show you how to speak and help you to witness for Him. If you really want it, At times I've been able to do that. And times I failed, I confess to God, help me, God, help me, help you and help us to not lose opportunities to share. And that's why we give out the Gospel of John. Why do we give the Gospel of John? Because it's the big door. Because nowhere in this book is so often is it presented, the everlasting life is presented 30 times by Jesus, 29 or 30 times by Jesus alone in these few chapters, the gift of eternal life, the gift. So we give this book out, and I try to give it, take it around with me, give it out, put witness to somebody, hand them the Gospel of John, give it to them, spread it, get a hold of it, and God will make a way for you. When you really want to do the work of God, He'll make a way for you. He'll open doors for you. He'll do miracles for you. And you can ask anything you need when it comes to spreading the gospel. He'll do it. Whatever is for the glory of God and for the kingdom, He'll do it. We needed a larger church, and I knelt and prayed. And God said, we'll give you the land. God gave us a land in Brooklyn worth several millions of dollars. I was praying when I was in the school, if we headed the school, and God gave us that campus worth millions of dollars. He gave it to us. Because when you're asking for the kingdom, He'll do anything for you. Anything. He'll give you what you need. He'll take care of you. Don't let yourself and your own needs become the big thing. That's not the big thing. The big thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Eternal life is the big thing. Sharing it is the big thing. Anointing to share it is the big thing. God wants you and me to share this gospel, to witness to everybody. Praise God. And they're waiting for you. And he knows where they are. Some will receive, some won't. He wants some witness. He says, tell everybody. Tell everybody. I was a praise God. Years ago, I was preaching in Canada, and a wonderful church there in Canada. And Saturday, we had no service. So all day I was praying. And God said to me, go to Salvation Army. Go to the Salvation Army. Now, I've never been to the Salvation Army before nor since. I love the Army. I love those people. But I just never had any reason to go. And they were having special meetings, and it wasn't so far from where I was staying. And I went into the Salvation Army, sat there. And they had an article in the newspaper and an advertisement about the meeting, so I was careful not to be conspicuous. And the man preached a wonderful gospel message, and nobody came. He gave an invitation, nobody came. So I slipped out early so folks wouldn't see me. I was praying, and so I went down. Walking up the street, I said, I'm going to go up here to the hotel and witness to this alcoholic I've been witnessing to. I'm going to go and talk to him a little more tonight and see if I can pray with him. And on my way, there was an alleyway as I was walking up the hill. It was an alleyway, and there was a young man sitting on a box in that alleyway, dressed real nice, crying. And I started to go by, and the Spirit of the Lord said, stop and speak to him. Well, now I'm from New York. You don't speak to people in alleyways in New York City. That's not what you do. So I started to walk on by. I said, no, I don't talk to people in the alleys. And the Spirit said, speak to him. I turned around, walked back. He was crying. Put my arm, hand on his shoulder. I said, son, why are you crying? What's wrong with you? He looked up to me, tears streaming down his face. He said, I ought to have been in that meeting in the Salvation Army. I ought to have been in there. I need God. I need to get saved. And I could smell he was an alcoholic. And he said, but I go. And I kneel and they just say, Bramble, boy, you got it. I don't have anything and I need God. I said, son, I'll go with you. And I said, we'll go to the altar. I'll go with you. And I will not let them send you away until you're ready to go. I will be responsible for you. He said, will you go with me? I said, I sure will. So we walked back into the Salvation Army, this young man and myself, down the aisle. They were still singing. We walked down the aisle and fell at the altar. People began to cry as we walked in because they knew him and pray. And then some elders came around, the Salvation Army men came around, and we all began to pray for him. They dismissed the meeting, and we stayed there and prayed. We were seeking God, and finally one man came to him and said, "Now, Bram, old boy, you've got it. Take it by faith. You've got it." And Bram stood up, and before I could say anything, he stood up. He fell on his face, flat on the floor, and he cried. I said, "I don't have anything. I need God. I need God." And I went to the man. I said, "Now, don't do that anymore." I said, "I'm here to see that he's." He said, "Don't say nothing. We're going to stay here till he gets finished. We're going to pray through." So we kept on praying, and some of them started to get up. I said, "Oh, no, 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 we're going to stay right here. We're going to pray with Bram as long as he stays." So the sexton saw I was in charge, so he came to me, and he said, I've got to close this place down." I said, "Oh, no, you can't do that." I said, "Do you have any other room we can go in?" He said, "Yeah, you can go in the basement." I said, "Well," so I announced, "we're all going into the basement." So we all went down in the basement and prayed. We stayed there a long time praying. We had a great time. So started to get up. I said, "Oh, no, 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 stay right here. Everybody's going to pray." Come to find out one of the men is his father, one of the elders. So we're praying, and so the sexton came to me and says, "I have got to shut this place down." I said, "Does anybody have a home we can go and pray in?" And the father says, "Yes, come to my house." So we all got in the cars, two cars, drove up to his father's house. We stayed there. Now it's at 11 o'clock. We kept on praying around midnight. Well, we kept on praying. We knelt down. We kept praying. And finally, the man whose name was Bram, his wife came in and crying says, "I need to get saved tonight." So she knelt and she got saved. In a little while, his daughter came in and she knelt down and we prayed for her and she got saved. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, old Bram screamed. He got sober. Now he's all sober. He raised his hands and screamed out, "I've got it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. You're saved." And we shouted and we praised. And his wife said, his mother said, "Come and pray for me." She was sick. We prayed and we shouted. And I heard one man was speaking in tongues. And so we were speaking in tongues. These are Baptist, these are Salvation Army people. We had a great time. And I didn't say anything. So whenever we got finished, I said, "Don't anybody come to where I'm preaching tomorrow. In the morning. Don't you dare. You go to your own church. I didn't come here for that. We come here for Jesus Christ only. Praise God." And so but I said, "Tonight, you don't have any meeting at the Army. You can come." That night, they're all on the, up on the, in the, on the balcony in the first row up there. And old Bram raised his hand and waved at me, and I waved back at him. Praise God. I got a letter and said, "Dear Pastor, I was an alcoholic. I had lost my wife. I had lost my job. I'd lost everything that night when you helped me to go to church and helped me pray through." He said, "Jesus saved me, delivered me from alcohol. I'm back with my wife. I'm back working again. And I just wanted to thank you." Praise God. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. He's all about us witnessing. Us being ready, us being available. God wants everybody. Think of this church. Think of this audience here tonight. Jesus, help me. Help this people. Help us to understand this gospel of John, this great invitation that God so loved us, that God poured out his spirit and poured his wrath out on his son that he might give eternal life to everybody. He says, "Now go and give the gift of eternal life. Tell them to receive Christ. He paid the price. He wants to save them. And it's your neighbors. And God wants your neighbors to come. He wants others to come. He wants your people to pray for your apartment house, the building you're living in. Pray that God sends a revival into that building and saves them, that your family gets saved, that your neighbors get saved. This is what it's all about, folks. Everything else passes away. This life ends and the houses go down and trouble comes and we all leave. But I want you to know, if you have Jesus Christ within you, you live forever. You live forever. You will never die. You will never die. Paul the Apostle said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hallelujah. There's so much to say tonight, but God wants to give you the vision. He wants to give you His Spirit. He wants to anoint you, because this is what matters. It's not the house. It's not the car. It's not the retirement. It's not all this other stuff. That's not it. And the clothes we wear, so what? It's we're all going to leave this world. Get a hold of things eternal. And when you leave, when you come to the end of this life, we want to hear, and you want to hear, and I want to hear. I want to hear the words of Jesus. Well done. Well done. You did it. You carried the word. And He wants you to carry the word. He's called everybody. Some of us are full-time pastors, but everybody is a full-time worker for God. Everybody. Everybody. Come on, let's give the Lord. Everybody. 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 There's no two of you. You're just one of you. And God chose you. He called you. He selected you. And we praise God. It's like one great African-American preacher used to preach. He was so great. And he said, when you're coming in to the kingdom, it says, whosoever will. But when you get inside and you turn back and you look, it says, chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. God chose you. God called you. God has called you to be a witness, to anoint you, to give you His blessing, and to use you in a great way. He's got a plan for your life, your personality, your life. He has a plan for you to fill you with His Spirit and to use you to bring the light to people that need Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give Him that chance. Say yes to God. Some years ago, I was in Central Africa preaching. See, when God calls you and you say yes to God, He'll provide. I announced to the church that I felt called to go to Africa to minister, and some man walks up to us, says, I have your tickets. I'm going to pay. Always does it. Always. You see, whatever you're doing for the kingdom, God will give you whatever you need to do it. It's limitless. And he said, it's thousands of dollars. He said, got it all for you. It's all paid, round trip, as long as you want to stay, whatever you have to do. We went from Cape Town to Cairo in the continent of Africa. In Central Africa, missionary friends that I was with, I was a guest of a large Pentecostal organization in Africa, their guest, preaching throughout the continent. And told this missionary in Central Africa, and I said, I'd like to preach now. I want to go where the gospel has never been preached, where no one's ever preached before. While I'm here, I want the privilege of preaching to people that I know have never heard this gospel. So we made arrangements, and arrangements was made, and interpreters were gained, and permission was given to us, and we went out to this large area where, to their knowledge, the gospel had never been preached. I have two interpreters. What are you going to preach? They've never heard. I preached the whole thing. You know, Adam, how we come, and man is born in sin, and there's heaven, and there's a hell, and there's a heaven, and there's Jesus Christ came to redeem us, to give us the life. Just what I'm preaching to be, Jesus Christ came to give us the gift of eternal life and to forgive us of our sins. I'm preaching away, and people are, it's under a big tree. It's no buildings. It's a tremendous crowd of people, a large crowd of people. And a man stands up, young man, and he stands up and he starts for me. Of course, they've never been to a meeting. They don't know. So he doesn't know that you shouldn't do this. He doesn't know that. And the interpreters say to me, I'm speaking through two, say to me, shall we have him stop? We have people here to do it. Shall we stop him? I said, no. I said, he's not trying to hurt me. He's troubled. So let him come. He walks up to me, and He doesn't have much on, just a little loincloth. Fine, powerful, handsome young man. Walks up to me and he puts his face right up here to mine. He says, "Are you telling me the truth?" He said, "What you said, is it the truth?" I said, "Yes." He said, "It is the truth that there is a heaven." "It's true." He said, "Is that true?" I said, "Yes." "Is it true there is a hell? There's a place of suffering?" I said, "Yes." "After you die and it's forever?" I said, "Yes." He backed off a little and he said, "I have a question." Oh, hurt. Angry and hurt. He said, "Do you mean to tell me that you knew this and you never came?" "Wait a minute. You mean," he's hurt. He said, "You mean that you know this and you never came to tell us?" He said, "How could you do that? How could you know this and never tell us?" I said, "You're right. But," I said, "I did come. I am late." He said, "Do you know, my mother's dead. My father's dead. My people are dead. They're dead. Now you come. Where have you been? Where have you been?" I said, "You're right. I'm late. But I am here. Never had a meeting like it in my life. I'm preaching." He sits down there and listens. And a man jumps up and runs up and screaming, crying out to God to have mercy on him. I never gave an altar call. Never got to. Screaming, crying, confessing. Never told him to confess. Confessing. Terrible things. Another man gets behind him, starts confessing. Another one, another one, another one. The women stumble. I couldn't preach anymore. They're crying out to God. Crying out to God. So I'm praying and trying to lead them in prayer and showing them how. They're crying. Never had a meeting. Took over, confessions, crying out to God, took over, took the meeting over. The leaders came and said, "You got to leave. We have to take you out. You have to go." I'm looking out the back window. Those people are hands up, praying, calling on God, have mercy, to give them the gift of eternal life. Tremendous meeting. Folks, I read something from Gary the other day that I want to read to you. Tonight, I've got it here, and I want to read it to you. He wrote it in his World Challenge. On April 2012, there were approximately 7 billion people on this earth. Approximately 750 million, or 11%, claim Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. About 2.6 billion people, or 38% of the world's population, have heard the gospel but have not accepted Christ as yet. At present, over 50% of the world's population, 3.5 billion people, have not heard. Most of them do not have a realistic opportunity to hear the gospel. But I've got good news for you. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, "And another," John said, "I saw another angel. And he came through with the everlasting gospel to preach this gospel to every nation and kindred and tongue." I've got news for you. And God wants to help us that this gospel is going to go to the ends of the earth. And then the end is going to come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But God wants us to get going. Get busy. Do our part. This is an awesome hour, and this is a tremendous time. I want you to be available to God. I want you to let God use you to pray for your neighbors, for your family, and to seek God in a new way, to put it first. Don't let anything else come first. This is first. Eternal life, the gospel of Jesus Christ, John's gospel. Let's get it out. That's why we give out the gospel of John. because it's so clear. It's the big door. It's so clear over and over and over in that gospel. He tells them about Jesus Christ came to give everlasting life. And I want you to commit yourself tonight. I want you to hear the words at the end, well done. Don't put it off. Don't let other things crowd in. There's nothing as important as it. This is number one, getting folks in through the door, Jesus Christ, to the door, the gift of eternal life. Let that be the purpose. Let that be the focus. And God will help us. Tonight, I want you to come, those that will, that are going to ask God to help me use every opportunity. Fill me with your anointing. Let me go. Some of you need to go. Some of us need to go. Some need to just do work where we are. But we've got to, every one of us, catch the vision. Praise God. Should we stand together? And I want those that will to come forward. And praise God, I'm going to have the pastor come and lead us in prayer at this time. God bless every one of you. God bless you. Get the vision. Come on down at this time around the front here in a closing prayer. We might have the vision to spread this news to the ends of the earth. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Two things tonight I want to mention. Number one is maybe you're here and you don't know the Lord. You've not walked with the Lord, or maybe you drifted away from the house of the Lord and you're backslidden, and you've come in here tonight and you've heard the word and you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I'm not living for God. I've been doing my own thing. I've been just doing my own thing, and I've made a mess of things, and I want to get right with God. You can have eternal life tonight. You can have eternal life right where you are. You can raise your hands up to God and begin to call on his name and ask him to save you, ask him to change you, ask him to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to make you into the person he wants you to be. And he will receive you tonight as his own, and you will become a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. Your sins will be completely forgiven. You will be washed clean, and he will send his spirit into your life to live the Christian life through you. He will live that life through you and empower you to be what he's called you to be. Secondly, those of us who've responded and heard the message tonight that want God to use us, I want to encourage you to raise both your hands to God as a sign of surrender and begin to just call on his name tonight. He is going to use you. He has appointed you to be a vessel. You are a chosen vessel for this hour. For this generation, he's raised you up and he is going to use you. He is using you and he's going to continue to use you for his glory. Surrender and yield everything to him right now. Every battle, every struggle, every stronghold, every unsurrendered sin, every unconfessed sin, every habit, everything that's been holding you back from saying yes completely to him. Surrender it to him right now. Surrender it to him right now. Father, we lift our hands to you. We lift our hearts to you. Come on, raise your voice to God. You talk to him. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear your cry tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need the anointing, ask him for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you need a burden for the lost, ask him for that heart for the lost. Ask him to break your heart for the lost, for your neighbors, for your coworkers, for your colleagues. Hallelujah. For your family, unsafe family members. God, we cry out to you tonight. We lift our voices to you all over this house, God. Hallelujah. Asking that you would use us. We surrender to you tonight. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, oh God. You said pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Lord, we look out onto the fields and we know they're ready white unto harvest. Give us your eyes. Give us your heart. Give us your burden. Give us your mind tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Deliver us from the captivity of this world, the captivity of materialism, Lord, and so many distractions in these generations, so many voices clamoring for our attention, so many things clamoring for our affections. Hallelujah. Lord, come, Jesus, come and give us your heart. Come, O Lord, and change us, transform us. You said the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Hallelujah. We want your mind, we want your burden, we want your heart for this generation. Hallelujah. We cry out to you, Lord. Lord, on behalf of this generation, we cry out to you, Jesus. On behalf of our unsaved loved ones, Lord, our neighbors, oh God, our colleagues, oh God, that are on their way to hell, that are on their way to an eternity, Lord, without you. But thank you, Jesus. You've planted us in those particular locales, those particular communities, that particular workplace, that office, that school, that classroom. You planted us there as a light, as a witness, as a testimony, as a conduit of your power and your love, Lord, and your life, God, eternal life. Let your life flow through us. Captivate us by your Spirit. You said if we would open our mouths wide, you would fill it, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill us with your love. Give us a baptism of your love, your heart for this generation. Hallelujah. You said you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you. We yield to you tonight. Come and fill us afresh. Touch us, God. Baptize us with your love and your power, your anointing that still breaks every yoke, that still sets the captives free. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us tonight. Fill us tonight. Come on, folks, cry out to him. Ask him to fill you. Ask him to use you. Ask him to baptize you afresh. Hallelujah. This generation needs you. Our unsaved loved one needs you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You said you would not leave us as orphans, but that you would come to us. And you have in the power, Lord, in the person of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, we avail ourselves to you. Lead us, direct us, guide us, fill us. Impassion us, oh God, animate us. Animate us, Lord. We are your hands, we are your feet, we are your mouthpieces. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that you have chosen us for this hour. Lord, you've raised us up for this moment. This is our moment. This is our hour to make a difference. Hallelujah. To make a difference in our community. To make a difference in our world. God, you are using us. God, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of representing you in this generation. Now give us eyes to see what you see. Help us not to see men as trees walking, but help us to see them the way you see them, God. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that every door you open before us, you will give us the grace to walk through it. Hallelujah. And you'll cause our words to find their mark. Lord, like Samuel in his generation, you didn't let one of his words fall to the ground. But God, you used him as a mouthpiece to speak to his generation. God, thank you for authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over every power of the devil. God, thank you, Lord, for authority over the devil. Lord, over strongholds in the lives of those that you will place in our path. God, we thank you today. And we bless you, Lord, for eternal life. That you are making us conduits. You've made us conduits. Channels of eternal life to this generation. God, we thank you for the victory tonight. Now we look expectantly in the future. God, we look expectantly for you to open doors for us to share our faith, to share the goodness of Jesus, to share of what you've done in our lives. God, we thank you and we give you the highest praise for this privilege in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, folks, give him a shout of victory and praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, we've received our marching orders tonight. Hallelujah. You and I are chosen vessels for this moment, for this hour. The Lord told Joshua, wherever you go, I give you that ground. Folks, begin to walk in revival. Begin to walk in revival, folks, in the spirit of revival. The Holy Spirit is a quickening spirit. He's a life-giving spirit, and he lives inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Tonight, if you've come back to Christ, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to go downstairs and meet with our prayer partners that are downstairs. They'll pray with you. They'll give you a Gospel of John at no cost, and they might be able to encourage you. If you don't have a church, they'll be able to give you direction. If you're not from around here, maybe point you in the direction of a good church. If you're from around here and you've given your heart to the Lord tonight, I want to encourage you to go downstairs and let them minister to you. We have a new believers class, and you'll want to get involved in that so you can get rooted and grounded in this newfound faith. Folks, we need to rejoice in what God has done and what he is going to do. Hallelujah. He said, I will make you fishers of men. Praise the Lord. Folks, we're going fishing. The moment we go out these doors, we're going fishing. Amen. Trust him to fill your nets. One fish at a time. Hallelujah. Pastor Ben, thank you for that powerful word. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise as we go rejoicing in Jesus' name. We'll see you Thursday, Friday night back here in the house of the Lord. Turn around, encourage somebody in the Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you.